pray for it. Always a big man. I'm sure you get bigger, you know. We just pray for Dave, Lord. We thank you for him and for the team over there at Good Soil. And we pray even now, Lord, that you would open each of our hearts, Lord. Just make that a fertile place, Lord, that when Dave shares your word, that it would change us, and call us to a response, Lord, if that's what you're calling, whether it be to the volunteer, just to inquire more about the work, that's the marvelous work that's being done to change those lives. Lord. We just lift everything up to you in Jesus' name.
Well, what a great church this is. I've got a a protein bar I can have here. Is that mine? I'll just leave that there. Well, it's good to be with you again. And thank you for that time of worship. I needed that this morning myself. It's I've just got lots of things going on around my mind, in my head at the moment. And it's good just to stop and focus on God, isn't it? And so that really blessed me this morning. Thanks very much. I'll just share a little bit about Good Soil and that before I open up to see what God's got to say to us today. But it's interesting what Colin was saying. The Good Soil project started as a project on a farm, and to be honest, it was anything but good soil. It was rubbish soil because the land was owned by Tarmac Lafarge, so they came and took all the goodness out of the soil and they handed it back to the farmer. And he kindly gave it to us. But there's been a process of about 7 or 8 years where we've been feeding death back into that soil, if you like dead leaves, compost, and all that sort of stuff. And I'd say about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, that soil started to come alive again. So that land was rubbish. I don't know why we called it good soil. It was rubbish soil. But basically, the land has revived itself. And I'm not a farmer. Is anybody a farmer here? Oh, right, okay. I'm not a farmer. I can embarrass myself with these things, so it's good to know who my audience is. So, about 2 years ago, we started to have worms in our land. You know, we were digging, and the worms are the best farmers you can get. They break that soil down for you. And last year, we just dug for the first time and saw loads of them, you know, and that was just a sign of the land coming back to life. And how God revives the land, you know. And that's a picture of what we do, really. We just want to see lives transformed by the grace of God. And, you know, just singing some of those choruses that we've sung this morning, it's about the power of Jesus that changes lives. And we'll have a little look at that a bit later, because nothing we can do ourselves can change us. It's the power of God within us that changes us. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do at the Good Soil Project, is tell people about Jesus. And we've moved on from the farm project. We now own a house. I was always looking to get accommodation, to get people in a house where people could grow in a safe place. And I was doing rather well. I think I saved about £2,000. And so it was a long way off. Then I came and spoke at a church about the same size as this. And somebody came up to me and said, I'd love to buy you a house. Okay? And that's the power of God, isn't it? Okay, so if anybody wants to come up to me later on and buy me house number two, that's great. But that's what God does, isn't it? You put your hand in his, and he does the miracles. And we've learned that through growing. You know, that we put the seed in the ground, we water it, and God brings a miracle. Okay, so everything we eat, everything we grow, we're putting our hand in God's hands. We do the simple bit, and then he does the miracle. Okay, because I can't really grow tomatoes, but I can put a seed in the ground, and I can add a little bit of water, and then God comes along, boom, there's a miracle. And that's what we're looking for in Good Soil, to see God moving and transforming people's lives by his miraculous power. And yeah, just thank you for your continued support. And just keep praying God's kingdom come, because it's exciting. And That's what it's all about. Anyway, I just thought I'd show you a quick video. This is just a 3-minute video about the farm project. It just enables you to see it and see what we're about. It's a bit old now, but here we go.
Well, this whole project is based on a farm, so there's growing, planting, harvesting. I've got chickens, pigs.
Yummy!
It's a safe place where people who may not have ever experienced work can work in those different areas, learn skills, prosper and grow.
Well, I've been addicted most of my life since I was 16. Mainly opiates, methadone, heroin, morphine, stuff like that. And I love coming here now. I just love working with people, helping people. People have been through the same thing as me or going through it. Yeah, it's awesome.
I was in my 50s and I suddenly ended up on a benefit system which I'd never been on before and ended up getting evicted. And I'm drinking on the street.
Yes, never go on this side as well now.
We're here for people that have been homeless or are homeless, maybe with mental health problems, addiction problems, and ex-offenders. We're here to help them get back on their feet and to provide them the encouragement that they need to make some good life choices.
Essentially, we're providing meaningful outdoor activities for anyone that's struggling with challenges in their life, and we can help them to see there's still opportunity and they don't have to be bound by the chains that often hold guys that are in those situations.
I can't claim the tomatoes as mine this year, although I'm going in there next. What else am I going to be doing? If you're with a group of folks that are just street drinkers, and you get involved in things you don't want to be involved with. So I'd just sooner be focused on something like this, because it is help. It's definitely help.
My biggest hope is that this had an impact in their life, that they always look back and say, you know what, I encountered the love of Jesus at that project, and they were good to me, and God was good to me.
Okay. Jesus is central to what we're about, and Jesus talks about forgiveness. That's a huge part of recovery for many people, both forgiving others, but also forgiving themselves and receiving forgiveness. He also talks about a fresh start, and many of the people we're working with, the thought of being able to start again, a fresh life, is a very powerful concept.
I've tried many things in my time to try and get a high and get a buzz. Nothing is like coming out here, having a day's work, listening to good people, good words. And Jesus, it's natural buzz. It's brilliant.
There we go. It just gives you a little feel of what we're about. If you want to know more, Lynn comes and volunteers on a Thursday, so she can let you know a bit more. And Tim's old man comes out and helps out too. So I've got a few links here. But thanks for your continued support. If you want to know more, just come and speak to us afterwards, and I'm sure I can let you know more. All right, okay. This morning, I thought we'd have a look at the presence of God. And I wasn't sure what to speak on this morning, to be honest. But having gone through that worship time, I just want to encourage you as individuals, and also as a church, to walk with the presence of God in your lives, okay? And be beacons of light to people in your community, people you work with, and who you touch. We're going to have a quick read of Romans 8. 12 to 17, because I want this to be an encouragement for you this morning. Let me just read this. I'm reading from the ESV, and it says this: "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That's an amazing passage, isn't it? And it's talking about us, but talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And right from the beginning of time, the presence of God was important. Okay, it says that Adam and Eve, once they sinned, hid from the presence of God. They walked with him in the garden, didn't they? And probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible was when, after Cain had killed Abel, okay, it says that he went away from the presence of God. God was pursuing Cain and wanted him to repent, but Cain went from the presence of God. And he went and built a city away from God. And I just want us to have a little look at this passage today, but I'm going to contrast it by the life of Judas. We don't often speak about Judas, do we? But I want to have a little look at Judas, because Judas was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of the 12, and he saw Jesus for 3 years. He was with him. He walked with him. He heard the ministry of Jesus. Okay, he saw the miracles of Jesus. Okay, but something went drastically wrong with him. Okay, and I just think sometimes we can be in a church, can't we? We can be part of a church and sing the songs and be part of it. But do you know what? The presence of God in our lives is essential. The presence of the Holy Spirit within us is essential. Okay? And that's our message today for people, isn't it? Is to come to know Jesus and have his presence living within. Okay? All right? It's not about telling people what not to do. But it's about having the Holy Spirit live within people and changing people and leading people. You know, in the Old Testament, it was all about the cloud of the pillar, the cloud and the fire, wasn't it? The people were following what God was doing and following where he was leading them. So what happened to the other 11 disciples? Just ordinary men and women, fishermen, okay, and other things like that. And they had transformed lives that impacted the rest of the world, okay? And they were nothing special. Can you imagine after, in Acts, when Peter was standing up, the fishermen, there were people saying to him, he was only a fisherman, and yet he spoke with power that was from within, okay? And God was using him to minister. And the exciting bit today, folks, is God wants to use you and me, okay? The Holy Spirit dwelling within us, God wants to use us to impact our community, impact people that are touched by us. Is that good news? Yeah? Yeah? And sometimes we may not believe that. And what had happened with those other 11 disciples, that the inner man had changed. The inner man had changed. And there's nothing outside us, okay, that can change us. When you look at the law in the Old Testament, the law didn't change people. Okay, they couldn't keep it because it was outside of them. And yet the new covenant talks about the Holy Spirit coming within us to change us from the inside. Okay, Dave Collett can't change. Okay, I can't change myself. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within me that changes me. Okay, I remember one of my police colleagues saying to me when I said to him what I was doing, he said to me, he said, "You are one of the most impatient blokes I ever met." Okay, now that wasn't very good as a Christian, was it? Being patient is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, that hit quite hard. Okay, but God wants to change me with that. Okay, he wants to change me from the inside. I can't change myself. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to change me. Okay, you might meet some people today who say, "He's still impatient." I'm a work in progress. Fruit grows. It doesn't just come. It grows. Okay. All right? And we all need to be changed and led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you as individuals and as a church to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because I think sometimes today we run by tradition. We run by laws and how we've done things for many years. Folks, that has to go, and we have to run and be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That is essential. It's really interesting in Acts. I'll go there now. In Acts 13, it talks about Saul and Barnabas going out. Okay? The Holy Spirit instructed them to go out, and the church supported them. That's a really interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? And we need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit as individuals and led by what God wants to say. All right? And I just, it's a funny thing to look at this passage with Judas, because but I sometimes look at contrast because it helps us with the positive. And it says here, do not live according to the flesh. One of the things about Judas is when he betrayed Jesus, he went to the chief priests and the scribes and he said, what will you give me? What will you give me? Okay? Judas was after what he could get. Now, we live very much in a society today which is all about me and self. Okay? It's about what I can get. Okay? Whether that's anything, that could be education, jobs, or anything, what I can get. Okay? What I can take. What will you give me? And it says here, do not live according to the flesh. All right? Do not live according to the flesh, but live by the Spirit. Okay? You will never satisfy by getting. You will never satisfy by getting. Okay? You may have everything you need, believe you need, and still not be happy. Why is that? Because your soul needs to be satisfied. And the only person that will do that is Jesus Christ. Okay? Is Jesus Christ. So Judas was there. I want. Okay? And we know that before this, he had his hand in the pot, didn't he? He was after what he could get. What he could get. And this self-centered society in which we live in, this indulgence, isn't satisfying people. It's the Spirit of God that will satisfy. Okay? And when I contrast that to one of the most famous verses in the Bible, what's that? What is that? What's one of the most famous verses in the Bible? John 3:16. And what does that say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Okay? And I want to encourage us here, folks, encourage you as an individual and as a church to be givers. Give away. Okay? Give generously. Okay? And when I say give, I'm not being religious in that. Because, you know, I think sometimes we can give to people to make us feel good. Okay? You know, when Peter and John went to pray, they met the lame man on the way. I'm almost singing the song there, aren't I? Okay? All right? It said that he was there. He was by that church, by the temple, every day, waiting for people, okay, walking past to the temple who'd give him money. That never changed his life. But the power of the Holy Spirit in Peter and James did. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Okay? They gave the good news of the gospel. They gave what the Holy Spirit was giving them to give. And I want to encourage you folks to be givers. We've got something great in the gospel, haven't we? Something amazing. Give it out. Give it. Don't be getters. Because sometimes it worries me in our society, even in our Christian society, how we can say, well, I'm okay, I'm a believer, I'm looking after my family well, okay, and we've got this nice little box, okay? It's compact Christianity within our families, okay? Me, myself, and my family. We've got to look outside of that, folks. Okay? We've got to look outside of that first, because that's not Christianity. Okay? And I want to encourage us to be givers. Okay? Do not live according to the flesh. Okay? But live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, what happens? You become compassionate for people. Okay? And you want to give. Okay? That could be time. It doesn't have to always be money, folks. It could be time. It can be love. It can be a hug. It can be all those things. But let's pray what the Holy Spirit's got for you to do. Okay? Okay? You might have to do a little thing and God will provide the miracle. Okay? That's what he does. So let's not be takers, but let's be givers. All right? The next bit for me was in Matthew 26, when Judas went to the garden where Jesus was with the crowd of soldiers. What did he do to Jesus? He said, "I'll identify him by a kiss." Okay, there's a bit of a funny thing that was, wasn't it? Because by a kiss, it looks good on the outside, but inside there was turmoil. Okay, there was a betray. He was betraying Jesus. Okay, and what was happening there? It was false. It was false. It wasn't true. It wasn't true at all. And Judas had sold Jesus out. Okay, and I think that's a really important thing for us here because it's important for us to be true. It's really important for us to be true. I was reading the other day about the belt of truth in Ephesians 6. And the belt of truth is the first item they talk about. It's probably more of a corset. And it reminded me of my days in the old bill, you know, because when I had a belt, okay, everything was fastened to that belt. So I had you had your body armour, and if you weren't too plump, you had some hooks that hooked it onto the belt, okay? So my breastplate was attached to my belt, and then all my utilities, first aid kit, asp, torch, everything else was attached to the belt, okay? Truth, folks, is really important. We live in a world where truth doesn't seem to be that important these days. Half of our politicians can't lie straight in bed, okay? Because they don't tell the truth. Okay? And we almost accept that truth isn't important. But truth is really important for us as Christians. Okay? Really important for us to be truthful, to be sincere, not lie, to be open, to be transparent, to have no secrets. Okay? Because if we do those things, we give Satan a platform. Okay? So you might come up to me afterwards and say, "Do you know what, Dave, that was a great sermon. I love that, thank you." You might go out the door and say to your partner, "I didn't enjoy that this morning." Okay? It's really important that we're truthful and transparent. Okay? Or else we give Satan a foothold. Okay? And people will see that. Okay? Let's stop the gossip. Let's stop all those things. Judas here gave Satan a foothold. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Okay? And I just want to warn us against those things. Let's be upright. Let's be truthful. Come up to me afterwards and say, "Do you know what? I really struggled with that sermon." And we can chat about it, can't we? We can have a wrestle. Not physical, but that's what it's about, isn't it? We're not always going to agree on things. But let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. And, you know, when I see this here in this passage, you know, when he talks about your children of God, there's a unitedness there, isn't there? That we become family with Jesus. Okay? It's not false. It's an inward togetherness with Jesus Christ. Okay? Which Satan wants to part and divide. I'm encouraging you to be honest. Okay? It's okay to be struggling. Okay? It's really okay. And get alongside people and say, "I'm really struggling with this. Okay? I'm really struggling with that." Get people alongside you to pray. Okay? I've been looking a lot at sheep recently. Lynn rolling her eyes. Okay? Because, you know, the Bible talks to us about sheep quite a lot. And sheep, more than any other livestock, are susceptible to disease more than anything else. Okay, and we're susceptible to lots of things that can attack us. Okay, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us in all those things. Okay, we need one another. Okay, we might be struggling, and I want us to encourage you to be family. To be family with Jesus at your head. Don't be false. Do you know I've got problems? Would you believe that? Sorry? Yeah, I'm impatient. Yeah. I'm getting impatient. Nobody was answering the question. You know? Because we all have issues and we all need people to support one another. But we sometimes have this, well, we won't let people in. And I just want to encourage you to be open, okay? Okay, can anybody think of another kiss in the Bible other than Judas's kiss? I'll give you that one. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. I was trying to think of the countdown conundrum. Anybody else? Good one. I'll give you that one. You could have a sweet. If somebody... Okay. That's another good one. It's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of a parable. Whoa. Let's give you a clap. The prodigal son. What was that all about? That wasn't a false kiss, was it? That was a kiss from the father to the son, saying, you're forgiven. You're back in my family. With an embrace and with a ring. Okay? And that what a picture that is of forgiveness. Okay? Nothing like Judas's kiss. Okay? But again, it talks about that unitedness, doesn't it? Okay? And I just think in here that we have that closeness where we can call our Father, Abba Father. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay? Abba Father, I'm struggling with something. Abba Father, I love you. It's a father, you know, I've got four kids, okay? They're all growing up. But would I turn them away? No. I wanna be with them in the struggles, in the highs, in the lows, okay? And I haven't always got the answers, but I'll be there with them. And you know, that's for us as well. I just want to encourage us to be truthful and to be a people that are united to the Father God, and to just love one another. And that peace, it's just really important, isn't it? And not be like Judas in that way. The final verse about Judas as well is before the betrayal, it says that Satan entered him. That's quite a frightening statement, that is, isn't it? Satan entered him. Now, Satan didn't enter straight away. There was lots going on before that happened. Okay? Lots going on before that happened. But what a sad thing that was. Okay? But on the flip side of that, when you look, you have a gift led by the Holy Spirit of God as sons of God. And I don't want us to ever forget that the present, if you're a follower of Jesus today, you have got the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? The Holy Spirit who wants to lead you and guide you in everything you do. Okay? And it's interesting at the moment. I said we've got the house, and we've got four people in the house at the moment, and we're just learning things as well, all right? Because we were learning off. We've come under a Christian Housing Association, and we were following their guidelines, and you know, it was if you do something wrong, you'll get a verbal warning, then a written warning, then 28 days notice, and then see you later. All right? What a lovely law. Okay? All right? Can I say to you, I don't want to live like that. I want to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's a challenge to me, because I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But I need the power of Spirit to lead me and guide me and have real discernment. And do you know why that's frightening? Because Dave Collett isn't in control. And something for that person might be different for that person. But it's been led by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And that isn't comfortable, but it's right. And in those things, I just want to know God every day, in everything I do. And it's interesting, isn't it, I think it is... It's in Romans 7. It talks about, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Okay? So it's just been open to the Holy Spirit's leading. And what a way that is to live. Because, folks, we haven't just got a Saviour. If we just say that Jesus saves, I mean, that's great, that's true. But he doesn't just save, but he helps me live my life. Because I need help living my life. I'm not very good at it if I don't. I'm quite impatient, as Tim says. He's only known me 5 minutes. He's calling me impatient already. Okay? You know, but that's what I need. I don't just need a Saviour. I need him to help me live my life. Not just the big decisions, but the everyday decisions. The everyday I react with my kids, with my wife. Because they probably see the worst. Okay? And that's where the rubber hits the road, with him leading me. But just back on that passage, you know, it's exciting that we're adopted into his family. We've got security. There's no need to fear. Colin, okay? You're in God's family. He's your security. Do not fear, okay? Whatever's happening, okay, don't fear, because God's got you, okay? Because you're part of his family, all right? Okay? And we're called sons and daughters, okay? I have some big discussions on this with people, and I've mentioned this a few times in different sermons. We're not sinners, folks, okay? We were sinners, but we're adopted into his family as sons, okay? All right? And we were sinners. We must never forget that we were. Never, ever forget. But now we're adopted into a family where he calls us children of God. Okay? We are children of God. My sins, I still may sin. But God doesn't call me a sinner. He calls me a child of God. Okay? It's a real different footing. Okay? That's where I am. Okay? If I keep calling myself a sinner, I'm just punishing myself, and I'm not believing in the cross. Okay? And with that, we've got intimacy with the Father. Okay? Father God, who comes alongside us and helps us and leads us and guides us. And some of the lies of the enemy says that God isn't interested in you. Let me tell you, he's very interested in you and leading you. He's very interested in what you do, where you're going, and he wants to impact your life and show you many things. And folks, I've got a big L plate on my back. I'm learning, but I need the presence of God, and I'd encourage you in that way too. Thank you, and God bless you all. Can I just pray for you? And yeah, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Lord, also you're our Saviour. You rescued us, Lord, from our guilt, our shame, ourselves. And Lord, because you had mercy on us and because you love us. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that we will just always seek your presence in everything we do. We thank you, Lord, that we're adopted in your family. We thank you that we're not alone. We thank you that we don't have to fear, because you're right with us. And Lord, I just pray that we'll just learn to hear your voice more and more. We'll seek your voice, Lord, that we won't run on traditions or on the way that we think's right, but always come to you, spending time in your presence as you lead us. Lord, we need your power. We need your might. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not just a Saviour, you're a Father who loves his children. Lord, may that just be a reality for us today. May we know that some more. And please guide us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay.
Right, well, the kids are coming back in. We're going to have communion. What, just while they're coming back in, I will say, no word of a lie, I thought that was really good, Dave. So I'm not going to go home and say to Sarah, Dave was rubbish this morning. I'm going to go home and say, you should listen to it. It's really good. Thank you.